Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks so much for joining me again this week. And we're going to do something a little bit different this week because there's so much going on in law enforcement that I'm going to extend the view from the blue. And we're going to just call this kind of a Randy's rant, if you will. But before we do that, I want to thank my sponsors, people that make this show possible. And that is, of course, BlueLivesMatter.blue. BlueLivesMatter.blue is the news and information website for everything law enforcement. It is the website for Blue Lives Matter. And everything that you want to know that's going on in law enforcement, check it out at BlueLivesMatter.blue. And Warrior12.com. Warrior12.com is the merchandise outlet for everything from Blue Lives Matter. They do have the coolest t-shirts. I wear one almost every day. And they look pretty damn good, I got to say so, if I say so myself. But they also have all kinds of other kind of cool stuff, cups and other paraphernalia that you can also win in a contest that I'm going to tell you about in just a little bit. And also JSD Protective Services. Now, if you are looking for security, whether you are looking for a private detective, an investigator, or armed guard services, couriers, JSD Protective Services, and we'll tell you a little bit later on the show. Without further ado, let's take a walk into the briefing room where I'm going to give you my view from the blue.
The briefing room. Headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
Now, there is just so much going on in law enforcement that I'm going to take a little extra time today and talk about a whole bunch of different stories and things that are happening currently in law enforcement. First of all, let's talk about this tragic shooting in Minneapolis. Minneapolis, for those of you that are living in a cave and don't know what's going on, experienced an officer-involved shooting very recently that involved a Minneapolis police officer who was responding. There were actually two officers in a car responding to a report of an assault. And this is very late at night, early morning. And the woman who reported it is a woman who moved here from Australia. A very nice, civic-minded woman. She is, was, I should say, going to be married in a month. And when the officers arrived, they somehow got involved in a shooting. And when I say got involved in a shooting, the circumstances are still very, very unclear because the police chief is not releasing many of the details. But here's what we do know. Two officers arrive. They haven't even gotten out of the car yet. They apparently see the woman who reported it. I don't know if they knew who she was, but she's dressed in her pajamas. And as she walked up to the driver's side door, the passenger officer shot her. Shot her through the door, hit her in the abdomen, and she was killed. The officer's body cams were not turned on. Their dash cam was not turned on. And the media is making a real big deal about the body cams not being turned on. And they are insinuating that there is some malevolent reason for it. So that's what happened. And the Minneapolis police chief, who I have talked about many occasions because I have so little regard for her leadership abilities, is pretty much showing once again that she's inept. The way she's handling it now is just causing more and more problems, because where she could be telling something that might shed some light on the situation, she's keeping it all in the darkness. And that is causing even more and more suspicion, if you will. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this, a few other things that have come up, but I want to, first of all, say how tragic this situation truly is. And the fact that one officer discharged his weapon, and according to media reports, the officer in the in the driver's seat was shocked that his partner fired his weapon. That comes from one media report. Now, as we all know, as law enforcement officers or people who are familiar with law enforcement, to fire your weapon from the inside of a car is a pretty much a major move of either panic or desperation, or, you know, your life is seriously in jeopardy and you have to fire through the door to hit your assailant. There's no indication that there was any attack. There was no weapon found. And so the situation has not been told in public yet. They just say that there is an independent investigation taking place. Now, several things have been released to the media, and this is where I think things are going to have an effect on the police agency. So we have this police officer who, by the way, came out publicly and gave his condolences to the family of the woman that he killed. It turns out that he is a fairly new officer. He has less than 2 years on, and he is a Somali, member of the Somali community. Now, why is that significant? Only because when he was hired, the police chief and the mayor, both of whom I have absolutely no respect for whatsoever, as they have shown themselves to be not supporters of their own police officers. They have actually been detractors of their own police officers. But when they hired this Somali police officer, they trotted him out like he was their prize pony. They gave him accolades. They pranced him out to the public to show their diversity is really what it comes down to. And they gave press releases and put him in front of the cameras. And now, less than 2 years later, he has pulled the trigger on what is, by all accounts, a perfectly innocent woman who emigrated here from Australia. Now, it hasn't been brought out in public, and I don't know if this will play a role, but there is a possibility here that the reasons that the police chief and mayor are remaining so silent about what took place is because they are concerned about the Somali angle of this, that this is an individual that was hired and pranced out to the public as a example of their diversity. And is it possible that this police officer was hired for the wrong reasons? That's going to have to come out in an investigation. But we have seen in the past, for reasons of simply showing that the police department or the city is trying to achieve racial diversity, lowering of standards for hiring minority police officers. We've seen it happened in Los Angeles, it happened in Miami, it happened in New York, it's happened in a lot of different places, including Washington, D.C. In fact, in Washington, D.C., they lowered the standards so much that they were hiring people who had been arrested numerous times. Now, what happened, there's one thing that is common, and that is that these wholesale hiring examples for trying to get one group of people has led to some of the worst scandals in those police departments' histories. Now, in the case of Washington, D.C., if you're going to hire a car thief, the chances are he's going to remain a car thief, whether he's wearing a uniform or not. And that's, in fact, exactly what happened. They wound up having to pay out millions of dollars, just as in Miami and Los Angeles and very numerous other places, in court awards, because they hired the wrong people. If you hire people only based on race and not based on qualifications, then you are going to get a substandard police officers. Qualifications, now is the time, even though we are seeing a diminishment in recruitment, now is the time when the standards should not be tampered with. That quality is much more important than quantity when it comes down to hiring someone that has the power of life and death over other individuals. So what's going to happen in Minneapolis? We don't know that at this point. We don't even know the facts of the situation, because the police chief and the mayor have been keeping a lid on it. And by the way, in their last officer-involved shooting, they couldn't wait to get out and tell the facts about it because it moved their political narrative. So we shall see what happens in Minneapolis. Blue Lives Radio is sponsoring a contest, an amazing contest where you can win $500 worth of Warrior 12 gear. Now, Warrior 12 is the clothing and merchandise arm of Blue Lives Matter. They have the coolest t-shirts. They have all kinds of cups and mugs and all kinds of paraphernalia. And if you just go to BlueLivesRadio.com and enter the contest for free, you can win everything that Warrior 12 distributes. That's right. For absolutely nothing other than entering the contest, you can win every single item that is sold by Warrior 12. And you can check out everything there at warrior12.com, which is one of the sponsors of this show. So, great contest. You can win all the cool t-shirts and all the cool paraphernalia that Warrior 12 makes by going to BlueLivesRadio.com and entering the contest. So, good luck. Enter it now. Now, I want to talk to you about Dallas. What's happening in Dallas is nothing short of mind-boggling. Now, Dallas, as you'll remember, suffered one of the worst attacks on police officers in the history of this nation. It was only a year ago, July, when there was a march being held, a protest, and by all accounts, mostly peaceful. And it was a Black Lives Matter protest. And it was organized by, amongst others, a fellow named Dominique Alexander, who is an ex-felon for child abuse. Okay, so this is the guy that is making the event happen, making the protest happen. During this protest, a heavily armed individual who was a follower of Black Lives Matter and an adherent to their philosophy of hate and of ending law enforcement's reign, if you will, in America, traveled to Dallas with a high-powered weapon and killed five police officers, wounding many more in what is now often called the massacre at Dallas. It was absolutely stunning that these police officers gave their lives so bravely, many helping the protesters, the very people that were there protesting against them, and gave their lives trying to protect them. The individual who committed this terrible, terrible crime was later killed by, in a very interesting way. They had him cornered in a parking garage, and They put a robot into the parking garage with high explosives and blew him up. Now, they were, law enforcement was criticized for doing such a, such a cruel thing to this man. But I can't think of a better way to have ended this situation, considering he was highly dangerous. He'd already killed many people. He was heavily armed. And somebody in the leadership of Dallas PD, SWAT probably, came up with this, and they did the right thing. Now, at the time, the police chief was a guy named David Brown. He was lauded after the attacks for his leadership. And he did a great job. If you looked at the media, he stepped up to the plate. He explained everything very well, and he appeared to be a leader that was well liked and followed. Now, he left the department shortly thereafter, and he's now working in some other capacity. Now, here's where the issues have now been discovered that are absolutely shocking. And that is that someone in the hierarchy of the Dallas Police Department on the night of this protest, which wound up resulting in one of the deadliest days in American policing history, someone ordered the police officers of Dallas PD who were working that protest not to wear protective equipment. Yes, you heard me correctly. Someone in the hierarchy told those officers that they were not allowed to wear protective gear. Now, they were allowed to wear their regular vests that were under their uniforms, but everybody does that. But many of those officers had heavy equipment. They had helmets, they had higher threat level vests, they had additional gear that would have kept them safe. And someone told them they couldn't wear it. Who? That's the question. Now, this was a rumor up until just a couple of weeks ago, when the head of the Dallas Police Officers Association came out publicly and revealed that this was, in fact, the truth. And there is no doubt that one of the officers who was killed that night had that equipment, but he didn't have it on because it was in his car, because he was ordered not to wear it. Now that this is a fact, and we know that this is true, there is no doubt in my mind that A, there should be an investigation by an outside agency like the Attorney General of Texas, or even the Department of Justice from Washington, D.C., because what could possibly be the reason for telling those officers not to wear protective equipment? We have seen this before. We saw it in Baltimore. We've seen it in Ferguson. We've seen it in many other locations where a weak leadership in the city and in the police department, for reasons of political correctness, not the safety of their officers, tell their cops not to wear their gear. Since this has led to the deaths of so many officers and the injury of so many others, this should be a criminal investigation. If people in the upper authority, and this could very well come down to the order being given by the chief of police himself, if that is the case, then there should be prosecution. There should be some legal remedy, as well as lawsuits against the city and against these individuals who made such an incredibly poor decision that may have led to the deaths of police officers. Now, okay, so we have this terrible series of murders. We have now discovered that police administrators or supervisors, someone in upper command has ordered these officers not to wear gear that might save their lives. Now we're talking a year later, and two other things have happened that are just, to me, absolutely shocking. The first is that the city council, just a week or so ago, because it was the anniversary of this terrible crime, voted on a resolution to honor the officers who lost their lives in the line of duty. Now, talk about a no-brainer. Holy God, who would ever think that someone would object to that? Well, enter a city councilman who has been returned to office numerous times, who, by the way, has been arrested for felony charges, a guy named John Wiley Price. He votes against the resolution and publicly blames the police. Yeah, you heard me right. He blamed the victims because of unjust police shootings in the past. Even telling you about this, I feel my blood pressure rise because it angers me so deeply that this pathetic excuse for a leader of a city would come out and would talk about the victims, the men and women who gave their lives in the line of duty, protecting the very same protesters that were protesting against them, and he'd blame them. It is unconscionable. And to return this cretin to office is something that the people of Dallas should rise up and vote against. It's absolutely disgusting. It's the only word I can use. I saw a picture of this piece of human garbage, and I wish I could get through the television screen to get to him. But
we are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. And we stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample or just go to americaoutloud.com and click the large banner ad, and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
As if everything I just told you wasn't enough, right? Now, they are looking for a new police chief. And the city manager is reaching out to members of the public to help make this choice. Well, guess who he chooses to help make this choice? A name that I just told you a few minutes ago. Dominique Alexander. That's right. The same ex-felon who organized the Black Lives Matter march where those police officers were gunned down has been given the invite to help choose the next Dallas chief of police. Are you kidding me? What planet is this moron from where he will take an ex-felon, a guy who was a child abuser, and give him say over who's going to be the chief of police? What is everybody smoking dope in Dallas these days? Because this is absolutely crazy. Now, all this is taking place while Dallas can't hire enough cops, while they have a mass exodus of law enforcement officers because they don't get paid well, and they're leaving in droves. Well, golly gee, city manager and city council, it seems that you might understand that there are reasons for all of this taking place. Mainly, your pathetic leadership. That's what's happening in Dallas these days, and it's something that I sit here and I shake my head even talking about it. So let's move on. Let's move on to something else that's going on here in law enforcement. I want to talk to you about something that's good and something that's bad, both at the same time. Recently, in last week or so, something happened in police unity that I was very happy to see and very proud to see. Police union leaders from all over the country showed up in New York City to demonstrate for a police sergeant, in support of this police sergeant, who has been maliciously charged by the Bronx District Attorney, some woman named Clark, who charged this police sergeant, Hugh Barry, with murder. What were the circumstances? Sergeant Barry responded to an emotionally disturbed person call who was armed with scissors. Now, he was able to talk her down and get her to put the scissors down. And as he's getting ready to take further action, she grabs a baseball bat and tries to beat him with the baseball bat. He's cornered. He fires his weapon in self-defense and kills her. Well, that's pretty much what cops do when somebody tries to beat their brains out with a baseball bat. But he's white. She's an elderly black female who's mentally disturbed. And the Bronx District Attorney charges him with murder. Not even manslaughter. Not even something in the realm of some possibility. Murder. This is a sergeant who did nothing but his duty. And the fact that this Bronx District Attorney overcharged this guy, he never should have been charged with anything, first of all. But then what happens? Mayor de Blasio, one of my favorite people. He chimes in. This is the right thing to do. And even their police commissioner, who used to have at least some set of testicles, well, apparently he gave them up for Lent or something, because he didn't even support his own guy. So we have the leadership in the city of New York, Mayor de Blasio, who is one of the just most pathetic excuses for a politician I've ever seen. And then we have the Bronx District Attorney literally turning a dedicated police officer's life upside down and trying to put him in prison for trying to defend his own life. But what I did see that gave me some sense of justice was that this entire group of police leaders, union leaders, of course they weren't police chiefs because they wouldn't have the guts to do it, showed up in New York in support of this police sergeant. And if there's any time that law enforcement needed unity, it's now. And this was a sign of that unity. And I hope that this is the sign of things to come. Meanwhile, Sergeant Barry is in the fight for his life. He does have great representation by the New York Sergeants Benevolent Association. And I foresee that this prosecution, like the many others, politically motivated prosecutions, have seen the charges being dismissed or not guilty pleas, not guilty verdicts in the majority of cases. By charging this police sergeant with murder, this district attorney, revealed that she is a political animal, is not concerned with the concepts of justice and lawfulness, but has her own political agenda. These are very dangerous times for the American law enforcement officer, because the war on cops is much more than just those who attack them. The war on cops is people like District Attorney Clark. It is like Mayor de Blasio. It is like the city councilman in Dallas who voted against a resolution to honor those who were killed in the line of duty. The war on cops takes on many faces, and we are seeing not a diminishment, but almost an increase. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about next. Because the other part of the war on cops is the media. The media has been unabated in their attempts to sow a false narrative about the American law enforcement officer. Since the events of the killing of Trayvon Martin, who, by the way, wasn't killed by a police officer, but somehow the media linked Trayvon Martin to law enforcement and racism. I don't know how, but they were very adept at it, because if you ask anyone about this case, that's where they'll take you. And then, of course, the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson, where an individual who attacked a law enforcement officer, tried to take his gun, was justifiably killed. That narrative was sown by the media, the narrative of hands up, don't shoot, which never even happened. Well, they're not done yet. They're not done yet by a long shot, because a Vallejo police officer, someone gave a piece of videotape to a news station in right outside of Los Angeles. And it's a white police officer interacting with a black suspect. And they took this piece of video and they aired it, and they bleeped out some parts, and they said that where they bleeped out was the police officer calling this individual a racist name. Yeah, the N-word. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Well, this, of course, creates this tremendous controversy. Here's a cop calling a black person the N-word. And it stirred up, of course, you know, a tremendous amount of unrest and of disrespect. Well, here's the only problem. It never happened. Yeah, you heard me right. It never happened. He never said it. It turns out that what he said was, "Hey, David." Yeah. "Hey, David." Now, how do you come up with the N-word out of "Hey, David"? Well, you invent it. And that's exactly what this television station did. They invented it. They bleeped out the word. And then they falsely accused the officer of doing it. Well, they got caught. They got caught when the unedited tape surfaced. And even another media, a newspaper, called them out on it. Well, they retracted the story. How nice of them, right? They retracted the story. But they have refused not only to apologize, but even to acknowledge what they've done. And this, to me, reveals that the media, in many cases, couldn't care less about ethics. They couldn't care less about the truth. The only thing they care about is trying to create controversy. And if they can do it on the back of a police officer, well, then by God, let's have at it. And that's what they did here. Where's the accountability? Where is someone in the corporate office of this, no doubt a giant corporation, why aren't they being held to account? This is the same media that is screaming all the time for accountability for police. Where's their accountability? It doesn't exist. And this is just another part of the war on cops. Now, let's go on to another media frenzy that took place that was found out to be false. There's a small town named Rainbow, and a woman posted on her social media this horrendous picture photograph of a man who she said was her boyfriend. Now, the guy is like, looks just horrible. All his teeth have been knocked out. He's got blood dripping from his mouth. He looks like a corpse. And she claims in this social media post that the white police threw him off of a bridge. And of course, this thing went viral in a heartbeat. Oh my God, the police threw this guy off of a bridge and knocked out all his teeth and beat all his teeth out of him and made all these horrible allegations. Well, there was just one little thing. You remember when all this madness first started, there was all the President of the United States and every other politician demanded that body cams be put on these cops in order to protect the public from these racist, violent cops. Well, it seems that, you know what's really happening? Those body cams, they're actually protecting the cops from the people. And that's exactly what happened in this case. Police released the body cam footage, which revealed that this guy who was being stopped by the police, by the way, he was wanted on felony warrants. What a nice individual. Well, he turned and ran, and he dove off face first off the bridge and landed right on his nugget. Well, gee golly. That's the reality. That's what really happened. Too bad it didn't go along with the false narrative of his girlfriend. They were looking for another payday. Now, that was a pretty long rant, but I felt I needed to get it off my chest. I hope that that you guys enjoyed my view from the blue today on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Welcome to the interview at Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I have a guest with me who has created an organization that is supportive of law enforcement, and you're going to love the name of it. It's Moms for Law Enforcement Officers. Her name is Evaine Walker Lindsay. She's the founder and president of Moms of Law Enforcement Officers. She's a Fraternal Order of Police, FOP, auxiliary member, DC Lodge number 1, and a proud volunteer for the officers from around the world that converge in Washington, D.C., to participate in planned events which honor those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice at the National Peace Officers Memorial Service. Evaine, thank you so much for appearing on Blue Lives Radio.
Thank you for having me, Randy.
Absolutely. So I love the name of your organization. It's it reminds me of apple pie, Moms of Law Enforcement Officers. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and then why did you create this organization?
Well, Moms of Leo is more of a self-help support group where people normally gather and they share common problems and experiences associated with particular problems, you know, with such as illnesses and deaths and different things that people normally go through in their everyday life. However, I started it when my daughter came down with breast cancer. She came down with breast cancer, and they had to give her a mastectomy on both of her breasts. And she's also a law enforcement detective in Atlanta, Georgia. And she had a great support team with her department, and it was just so overwhelming. So I said, wow, this is something that we need to bring to other people that's experiencing, you know, different illnesses and deaths and different things. And that's how Moms of Leo have gotten started. So we've been helping other officers that have lost their lives. We've sent a lot of gift packages to the families, you know, to the wives, to the children. And we make handmade blankets, you know, that we send to the family. And, you know, just to let them know that we're here as a support group. So we have been very, very busy since then, since we started the organization in 2016. And so that's pretty much how Moms of Leo got started.
I hear you. So this is a really very new organization, 2016.
Yes.
Now, how's your daughter doing now?
Daughter's doing well. She's been promoted to detective, and I believe right now she's training in the SWAT team. She's training in the SWAT team. My husband, he's pretty more adverse as far as what she's doing, and I wanted him to tell you that because he's also a retired law enforcement officer, and he knows more in that area.
Put him on the phone.
Hello?
Hi, this is Randy Sutton on Blue Lives Radio. How are you? Tell me a little bit about your history. First of all, I don't know your name.
Okay, my name is Ronald Lindsay.
Okay.
I'm retired from United States Postal Inspection Service Uniform Division of United States Postal Police.
Okay, great. How many years did you
28
do?
28 years with the agency.
28 years with the agency. And you are a co-founder of Moms for Law Enforcement?
Yes.
But you're not a mom.
No, because my division would be handled, my division, along with her division, is the dads of Leos, and she is the moms of Leos. The moms of Leos is the primary name of the organization, and Dads of Leo is just like an auxiliary part of Moms of Leos. And what we do is we support law enforcement officers that are going to terminal illnesses and different illnesses who doesn't have anyone maybe to take them to the hospital. They need to be driven to chemo, and a lot of the time they get weak and need to be driven to radiation, and most of their friends is at work, and lots of them sometimes don't have family members. So that's where Moms and Dads of Leo comes in as a support group to support.
Oh, I see.
Those
I see.
Family, yes.
Okay, I can see how that could be very, very helpful. How do people find out about your organization?
Well, our organization is listed on email, the Moms of Leo email, and then they can also find out about our organization through FOP number one, Fraternal Order of Police number one, Washington, D.C., one of the hosts of the National Law Enforcement Week is my lodge, FOP number one.
Exactly, right. I understand that. Okay, great. Can I put your wife back on then?
Yes, you can, and it was nice speaking to you. Thank you for your time, and here she is.
My pleasure. So this is a family affair. This is moms and dads for law enforcement.
Yes, Randy, yes.
Well, that's great.
We had to add dads in there.
How many people do you think have taken advantage of your, you know, of the things that you do, of your group?
Right now, we actually have 20 members and counting. Every day I'm getting phone calls and I'm getting emails in reference to becoming a member. And we actually just started chapters. We started chapters now where we have approximately five chapters. We have a chapter in New York. We have a chapter in Georgia, Florida, Washington, D.C. So we have chapters where we have Moms of Leo forming their own chapter to be part of what we have been starting and what we have been doing, you know. So it's more of like a support group. So we have a couple of chapters within the United States that a lot of Moms of Leo are starting their own chapters now, you know, in reference to what we had just began.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's exciting.
That is very exciting.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
When people, you know, the idea of forming these support organizations is basically mm-hmm. We're talking about a grassroots effort to reach out and to touch the lives mm-hmm. of families of law enforcement officers who are going through serious illnesses.
Different things that law enforcement officers normally, you know, encounter in their career and all.
And how do they, do you reach out to them? Do you get notified about someone who's ill and reach out to them? And
yes.
And how do you do that?
We get notified through, we are listed with, we listed through Law Enforcement Today. Law Enforcement Today, we normally get a lot of notifications of a lot of the officers that have, have got killed in the line of duty and all. We have a lot of, I'm just looking through my roster to see the organizations that we normally deal with, that normally contact us on a daily basis in reference to, you know, officers that got killed and those who are sick and shut. And then we have a lot of officers there in Atlanta, Georgia, a lot of departments there that my daughter actually works for. They've been contacting us, and they've been sending us information on other, you know, other departments that have lost other people in the law.
Do you deal
Jerry
mostly
Dimon's office in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Do you deal mostly with the deaths of law enforcement officers, or as your husband was saying, assisting those who have illnesses with like transportation to chemo and going to doctors,
both,
that kind of thing?
All the above. A lot of deaths, you know, a lot of sicknesses and all. We deal with all the above. Even the ones that sometimes go into marital situations, we are a support group where people have contacted us and we have prayed for them, you know. And just know that we're there for them and we understand what they're going through because we are a law enforcement family. So we have touched a lot of lives. I mean, approximately we've touched about 1,000 lives. And, you know, and I'm constantly in communication with them every day, you know, sending emails. They're sending me emails. Thank you so much for being there in a time, you know, my husband, you know, wasn't there. And so we have been a good inspiration, you know, to the law enforcement community.
Is there one or two particular cases that you were really touched by in dealing with with some of the tragic things that you're talking about?
Yes, one for in particular is the family of Detective Chad Parkway, if I'm pronouncing it right, here in the Las Vegas area.
Chad Parkway, yes.
Where I reached out to his family, Mom's Olivia reached out to his family and sent him a handmade blue line blanket. You know, and that was just overwhelming. We got thank you from the family, and they appreciated that we acknowledged them and knew what they was going through. So we touched their lives tremendously. We touched a lot of the officers that lost their life in Florida. Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton, Deputy First Class Norman Lewis. I just have all the thank you notes that they sent us. D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, there was an officer that actually got injured, and we sent them a handmade blanket, and he had in turn had sent us a thank you letter. You know, and then we're particularly really in communication with the Orange County Sheriff's Department there in Orlando, Florida. We know Sheriff Deming very personally. So we have, you know, we get a lot of support from the department there.
That's awesome.
And we got letters of appreciation from him also.
Okay, and how do people become associated with your organization?
We have a website, themomsofleo.com or momsofleo.org. We have a lot of information on the website that shows where, you know, we can send them information on starting their own local chapter, and we can send them an application on becoming a member. You know, where they can be in tuned in what's going on. And we normally send out emails, you know, constantly of a lot of different things that's happening in the law enforcement communities as far as deaths and sicknesses and, you know, around the country.
If someone wanted to start a chapter of Moms of Leos,
yes.
Now, first of all, since it's Moms of Leos, do they have to be women?
No, definitely not. That's why my husband had mentioned Moms and Dads of Leo. Dads is more of an auxiliary, you know, extension of Moms of Leo. So no, it doesn't have to be just women. You know, it could be women and men. But Moms of Leo actually started it. But it could be just women and men. And a lot of our members are men. You know, a lot of our members are men, and just because of the name doesn't mean anything, though. But they can definitely contact myself, or they can go on the website, and all the information is there, you know, that they can become, they can start their own chapter. And we welcome a lot of the states because it's been overwhelmingly, you know, since we started, and we've gotten a lot of feedback, you know. And we actually had said that our mission is to bring part of the solution on making our community safer, you know, by building relationship between our public safety officers and our community. So a lot of people have been getting involved so they can better their community.
What would be involved in starting a chapter? What does a person have to do?
You know, you have to be IRS, you know, recognized as a chapter there. And they can, and they would actually be more of a subordinate chapter of Moms of Leo. you know, they would definitely have to obtain a, you know, EIN number because that's, you know, a non-profit organization. And they just normally have to maintain, I believe it's about 4 to 5 officers in their groups, you know, your president, your vice president, your common, you know, personnel there. And pretty much that's it, you know, and along with other documentations that they will normally know what to have later on, though. But it's very simple and straightforward because it's just a support group.
And then would you, as the head of the organization, would you funnel people to them that are in need of support?
Oh, yes, definitely. We normally do because we do have an avenue that we, you know, Moms of Leo normally at Police Week. Every year we've been involved in Police Week for the past 10 years. And we get a lot of communication, you know, and a lot of our, you know, pipeline through a lot of the officers there during Police Week that they're located from all across the country, even outside of the United States. So we do have a pipeline where we can stay in communication with them and send them a lot of information and different things that would make them successful as a chapter.
If someone wanted to reach out to you for help, how would they go about doing that?
I've gotten a lot of emails because I do have a Facebook page, the Moms of Leo Facebook page. They have reached out to me that way. They have reached out to me by going on Law Enforcement Today, FOP Lodges. And so we're kind of listed with a lot of the extensions of law enforcement, of the departments and all. So they've been reaching out that way, even through the Sheriff's Department, you know, they've been reaching out that way. And they can always call me. They can always call, you know, my phone is available 24/7. So they can always call, and the number's on the website also.
Okay, so you have the Moms of Law Enforcement Facebook page.
You yes.
have the website, Moms of Law Enforcement.
Yes.
Moms of the LEO. Very good, very good. Okay, well, I appreciate you taking a little time and joining us on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. We'll hopefully, you know, I understand that these could be some very emotional things, especially when you're talking about the illnesses of law enforcement families.
Yes.
And I applaud what you're doing and thank you for creating this organization.
End of watch. Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay homage to those men and women who have lost their lives in the line of duty. This week, I have one name to read, Trooper Michael Paul Stewart III of the Pennsylvania State Police. Trooper Michael Stewart was killed in a vehicle crash on Route 5711 at the Route 271 split in Ligonier Township, Westmoreland County, at approximately 2:20 a.m. His patrol SUV was traveling southbound when a garbage truck attempted to turn left onto the roadway in front of it, causing a collision. Trooper Stewart suffered fatal injuries in the crash, and his partner suffered minor injuries. Trooper Stewart had served with Pennsylvania State Police for 3 years. His end of watch, Friday, July 14th, 2017. May he rest in peace. Blue Lives Radio is sponsoring a contest, an amazing contest where you can win $500 worth of Warrior 12 gear. Now, Warrior 12 is the clothing and merchandise arm of Blue Lives Matter. They have the coolest t-shirts. They have all kinds of cups and mugs and all kinds of paraphernalia. And if you just go to BlueLivesRadio.com and enter the contest for free, you can win everything that Warrior 12 distributes. That's right. For absolutely nothing other than entering the contest, you can win every single item that is sold by Warrior 12. And you can check out everything there at warrior12.com, which is one of the sponsors of this show. So, great contest. You can win all the cool t-shirts and all the cool paraphernalia that Warrior 12 makes by going to BlueLivesRadio.com and entering the contest. So, good luck. Enter it now. If you have any security needs, no matter what state you're in,
The company to call is JSD Protective Services. I've been really impressed with this company. I've met several of the people who are involved in it, and they are quintessential security officers. They really care about what they're doing. This company does everything you could want when it comes to security. They do courier service. They do armed security. They actually do police functions as well with certain contracts that they have. They are private detectives. They have pretty much everything that you could want when it comes down to security, and they do it really well. These guys truly care about what they are putting out. And the owner, Doug Carter is his name, is one of these people that really cares about who he is protecting, who he is serving, and he takes it really seriously. The big difference is their training. It's incredible. They actually have probably more training than many police departments. JSD Protective Services. You want to find them at 844-663-3611. That's 844-663-3611. JSDProtectiveServices.com. Hey, I want to thank you so much for tuning in this week to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. You know, we couldn't have done this without our sponsors. That is BlueLivesMatter.blue. That's the news and information website for Blue Lives Matter. JSD Protective Services, which is the best security company I know. And also Warrior 12. Warrior12.com is the clothing line and the merchandise line for Blue Lives Matter. They got the best t-shirts. They got these really cool things called Yeti cups. I just found out about them, and all kinds of other cool stuff. So go to warrior12.com and check out their stuff. Also, in case you didn't know it, I'm an author, and I've got a number of books. If you go to amazon.com, put my name in there, and you'll find all my books, including A Cop's Life, True Blue, and all my other stuff. So check it out, and thanks so much. I will see you. Well, I won't see you, but you'll hear me next week on Blue Lives Radio. Thanks.